Tonight, I've got, I'm going to say it's an unusual lesson. That's what I'm going to call it, an unusual lesson. Jesus used a lot of great truths and a lot of great object lessons in life to teach great truths. A lot of the things that he said was done in parables. In Matthew 13, for instance, the famous parable of the sower and the pearl of great price, both are found in this chapter. So Jesus used a lot of object lessons. There was in Luke 15, the lost coin, the lost son, the lost sheep. Tonight, we're going to look at lessons from, there it is, lessons from a postage stamp. And there's a lot of things we can learn from a postage stamp, just a simple little thing like this. The first thing I'll say is that postage stamps, they were made. They didn't just happen. They didn't just evolve. Friday night, Faye and I went over to Farley and listened to Eric Lyons as he was bringing a message, Seven Reasons Why We Should Believe in God. And it was some tremendous information, some wonderful material. And of course, while we were there, they had a bunch of books set up from Apologetics Press, which is where Eric works. He works with Brother Kyle Butt, who spoke at CYC, and he works also with Brad Harrib, who just did a meeting over at Mount Carmel. And so Eric was doing this meeting over there, some wonderful material. In fact, we bought five books. Someone gave a donation to buy some books for the library in Judy's honor. And so we bought five books over there in Judy's honor that will be put in the library. And you can see those books on the table in the back. Some wonderful, wonderful material on Christian evidences and believing in God. The thing is, you know, people talk about the Big Bang Theory, okay? And it's such a conglomeration of, well, I'm going to say gobbledygook. It's just a bunch of goofy ideas that men have speculated and put together, and they are doing the idea, they're doing this thing of, if you say it often enough and loud enough, people will start believing it. And so, you know, it's like when you see two young people getting into an argument. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. And they just back and forth constantly, just keep on, keep on, keep on. And that's sort of what they're doing. They're trying to push the Big Bang down our throat. But the idea is that the universe happened from a speck in space that was the size of a period. The size of just a period at the end of a sentence, and this Big Bang, all this matter exploded, and we have our universe today. I've never known a war zone to build a house. Have you ever seen pictures on television of war zones? What do you see in a war zone? You see trees that are dead and splintered. You see craters. You see blown and burned out houses, right? You don't ever see construction. You only see destruction. And that's all an explosion can possibly ever do. The idea of a Big Bang creating order from chaos is ludicrous and takes much more faith to believe than to believe in God. No, it didn't just happen. And then you think about the complex alignments of our planets. How in the world does the Earth orbit the sun? How does the Earth go around the sun at such a precise orbit that it has lasted and has not either gone into the sun or flown off out into space? How does the moon keep such a precise orbit around the Earth? And they're not circle, they're elliptical orbits, and yet they're precise. They don't vary at all. I heard one scientist one time say that if our orbit changed by one, now he said the word 1/5 of an inch. Now I've never heard of a fifth of an inch. But that was the term that he used. 1/5 of an inch in a year. The variation, 1/5 of 1 inch. You know how big the earth is? 1/5 of 1 inch. If it was off by that, closer to the sun, we would spiral into the sun. We would get closer and closer and closer and spiral into the sun. If it was 1/5 of an inch off further from the sun, we would eventually drift out into space. And this would become a cold rock. Now, that's the precision of creation. And A stamp had to be made. Never in history has there been someone walking along that found a stamp that just happened to make itself. Or it happened to be created because paper fell, ink fell, and stayed just right. Oh, by the way, let's not forget the glue on the back of the stamp. Got to have that too. You know, it's ridiculous to think about that. And then when you think about the complexity of a single cell, just a single little cell, one cell, and how complex this thing is in its design, the idea that something could be made without order, without design, is indeed ludicrous. No, stamps were made. They didn't just happen. Another point that we could see is that postage stamps were made with a design. There is design. There is such care in precision in the way that it had to be made. For instance, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 2, 7, and the Lord formed man out of the dust of the earth, or dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, or a living soul, as the King James says. And Hebrews 3, 4, for every house is built by someone. See, the Bible even says that. But he who built all things is God. Postage stamps were not just a result of some chaos. Didn't just happen. They were made. The second point we'll make tonight is that most of the time a stamp is going to bear the image of someone or some great event. They're not always this case, but many of the times they are. You see, you know, we can have stamps with George Washington on them. We have stamps with satellites that have orbited the earth, or presidents, or entertainers. Events that have happened, the Declaration of Independence, we've seen stamps with that. And so they're all kinds of likenesses and images of individuals or great events. According to Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are God's postage stamps, if you want to call it like that. We are created in His image. And by living the way He tells us to, we bring Him glory. The third point I'd make tonight is that stamps are made by those in authority and are governed by the same authority. You can go to stamps.com and you can print your own postage. But that is governed by the United States Postal Service. It is a private company that has to pay the United States Postal Service the exact dollar amount to the penny for any stamp that's printed, that's created. All it is a service that allows you to keep from having to go to the post office to get your stamps. But it's still governed by the same authority, the postage of the United States Postal Service. The laws that are regulating postage stamps are precise. There are laws about the weight of an item that's to be mailed, about the amount of a stamp, a zone or an area where it's to be mailed, laws that regulate every aspect of it. And if you ignore those regulations, your letter is not going to be delivered. Okay? You have a bill to pay. Oh, I don't think we need 49 cents. I'll get by with 48. Guess what? It's coming back to you. Your bill's going to be late. You ignore the regulations, it will not be delivered. You place a 2-cent stamp on a first-class envelope, try to mail it, they're going to laugh at you. It's not going to happen. Let me try this one more time. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. There's the authority. And so he gives the Great Commission to go and preach the gospel to the whole world. And then, of course, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. So here's the authority, here's the command, here's the regulations. We're to follow that. And there's no changing it. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. There's the governing of it. Postage stamp is made and regulated by a governing authority. So are we. Number four, postage stamps are of various values. Now we might, as we apply it to ourselves, we might use the word abilities. A postage stamp has different price amounts, different dollar amounts. You'll note a 1 cent stamp, a dollar stamp, and a 37 cent stamp there. Okay? Stamps of every size, every denomination, if you please. Boy, we could have some issues with that. But the point of it is, they have different values applied to them. Our talents differ from one another. We don't all have the same talents. We have various different talents. In fact, the passage that I cited this morning is an example of that. The reference that we made this morning about Mary at Bethany and what Jesus said about her, that she has done what she could. And that's the point that we made this morning. That's the point I'll stress again tonight. Each one does what they can do. Each postage stamp does what it is priced at, what its value sets it to do. That's what it does. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. With the talents, with the abilities that God has given us, we're to use those for His glory, to His honor. All right, the next point that I would make tonight is that stamps work well together. Whenever there's a price change, you see an odd assortment of stamps doctoring an envelope, right? I'll tell you something about Ron Clayton. Ron is a penny-pinching skinflint, okay? When it comes to stamps, he cannot stand the idea of us giving the Postal Service a penny more on any letter. If he's going to mail one letter, he makes sure that he has enough stamps of every number that he can make sure it never goes out. It doesn't matter how much it weighs, it's going to be to the penny. And that man has bought he has gone to the post office and every number of stamps, 1 cent, 2 cent, 3 cent, 4 cent, 5 cent. We got a box at our office in Hamilton. And in a file folder, and there's stamps to every single denomination. He has invested probably $300-$500 in stamps just to make sure he doesn't waste any money. Now, we're going to use them all eventually. It may be 1,000 years from now before they're all used, but the point of it is, a stamp does what it's designed to do, no more, no less. And stamps work well together. They cooperate together to get the package delivered. Christians are to cooperate with each other. That's our responsibility. Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 20 through 22, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for them who will believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Just as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me." Now note verse 22, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one." Working together. That's one thing that I have loved about our time at Tanner. And that's one thing that I respect and admire about this church. In all its 100 years, there's never been a split. Now, we can't say there's never been anybody angry. We can't say that. We can't say there's never been an individual that got mad and left. We can't say that. But we can honestly say that this church has stuck together through good times and bad, through hard times and easy times. This church has stuck together and never divided. And that is to your credit. But I'm just going to tell you, this is one of the most cooperative groups of people that it's ever been my privilege to work with. And in these last almost 20 years that we've been here with you, it has been a joy working with you. And I just got to tell you, I love how we cooperate and how we work together and we get things done. And if you want to see evidence of that, all you have to do is show up at the 1st of June and watch how Vacation Bible School happens around here, all right? That's excellent example of that very point. in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. This is not, as it might look like, saying that we all have to think exactly alike, that we all have to have the same opinions about everything. And it's not even that we always have to agree on every single thing, but it is the point that we must stick together, that we must be united together, the same mind, the same judgment. Our judgment is to obey God. Our determination is to do what God says. And there are times when we may disagree on the best way to do that. And that's okay. That's okay. But we must stick together. And that's the point of this. Cooperation, unity. That's the whole point of what being a Christian and being the Lord's church is all about. The next point I'll make about stamps is that a stamp will work wherever you put it. Wherever you put it. I was talking to a postal worker one time. I said, "What's the most unusual thing that you had to mail?" And the guy said, "A ball wrapped in brown paper." Just a ball. It was some sort of a rubber ball somebody was mailing to somebody, and they just wrapped the ball. And you could just roll that package right down the street. He said, that's about the most unusual shape he's ever... Well, it doesn't matter. If you can get a stamp on it, you can get an address on it, you can mail it, it'll work. We cooperate, and we'll work wherever we are put. Small packages, large packages, envelopes, postcards, it doesn't matter. And so are Christians supposed to work wherever they're put. Wherever you find yourself, be it in a palace or in a prison, whether you are in abundance or in famine, whether you find yourself in a third world country, backwater village, or whether you find yourself in a big city, you be a Christian wherever you are. You do what's right wherever you are, and you work for the Lord wherever you are. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, "Therefore those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Romans 1, 14, 15. "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also." We need to be ready to work wherever we find ourselves. Whatever work we can do, let's do it. And of course, I love that passage. "Whatever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Do it as unto the Lord, and not unto men." The next step, and this is next to the last point, a stamp has to be purchased and placed on an envelope and marked with approval before it will go anywhere. So many people have it in their mind that we can be saved by faith alone. So many people worshiping today in churches across this country and around the world are taught and truly believe that we can be saved by faith alone, by a non-working faith, that we can be saved in this way. Now, if you buy a stamp, but you don't put it on the envelope, it's not going to serve its purpose. If you buy a stamp and put it on an envelope, but then you don't mail it, it's not going to get anywhere. And if you buy the stamp, you put it on the envelope, you mail it, but it's not then stamped and approved by the postal service, it's not going to be delivered. Lost letter office is testimony to this. All the mail that's sitting there waiting to be delivered, either through a faulty address, failed postage stamp, or failure to mark the stamp, insufficient postage, whatever. There's evidence to show that this point is definitely true. Stamps are of no use if you don't get them, and then they're of no use if you don't use them. Christians are purchased by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ, Acts 20, verse 28, and 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says, "For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Ephesians 1, 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." A stamp is not going to go out
unless it's first canceled out. This proves that it was redeemed. This proves that it was actually used. One of the tricks of the trade that Ron taught me about postage stamps, and I've questioned him about this, and I won't do it. I'm just not going to do it. Sometimes stamps will come into our office. Now, I'm just showing you what a tightwad he is. Stamps will, and boy, you can tell him I said this because I've told him too. Stamps will come into our office, a letter will come in, and the postmark didn't get on the stamp. And Ron will try to peel the stamp off so he can use it again to save Indian Missions some money. Good grief! That's going too far, okay? The point of it is, the stamp has to be canceled out. It has to prove that it was indeed used. The old life of sin has to be canceled out or blotted out, and that's what the blood of Jesus does for us. So, Acts 3 verse 19, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." The times of refreshing is simply talking about salvation, the forgiveness of sins, a new start, a new beginning, a new life. That's all that means. All right, the last point we'll make tonight. Y'all have listened really well, and I appreciate that. Postage stamps hang in there. They never let go till they reach their destination. I know y'all find this hard to believe, but I wrote Faye some love letters long time ago. And she still hangs on to those. Got them tied together with a piece of crochet yarn. Stored somewhere. I don't know where they are, but she's got them. And you know what? On those letters, those postage stamps are still there. On every one of them, the stamps are still there. And back then, it wasn't this self-stick stuff. No, sir. I had to lick them. So my spit is still on those letters. Proof that I sent her those letters. Stamps stick to the job till it's done. And that's what Christians do too. Christians are to continue working till we reach heaven. Revelation 2, verse 10. James chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." You look at the story of Job and aren't you glad it's got a happy ending? You look at the story of Job and man, you talk about darkness, despair, despondency, hopelessness, helplessness. And then in the end, God works everything out. God works everything out. That's going to be your story too if you'll hang in there. I guarantee you that will be your story too if you will hang in there, if you won't give up. And I know you feel like giving up. I was having a talk to someone today who's marriage is in trouble. He is struggling. He feels like he's having to do this all by himself. He's not appreciated. He doesn't know if he's loved or not. And he's been at this for years. And he's struggling hard, trying to figure out how in the world he can keep on loving someone who will not love him back, who will not accept and respect and appreciate the effort he's making to provide for his family. How can he keep doing this? And the point of it is, Jesus didn't die on the cross so that you could live for a number of years and hang in there and be a Christian for that many years and then give up at the end. He didn't die on the cross. He didn't endure the shame. He didn't endure all that suffering so that you could just turn and walk away and throw your hands up and quit. No, brethren, no matter how hard it may be, it's still a very, very short time. You see why I see folks. Y'all remember Lonnie's rope? You remember Lonnie's rope? You tell the folks here about Lonnie's rope, okay? You hang on, you hang in there, you don't give up no matter how tough the going may be because it's such a short little time compared to what we have to look forward to in the future. So you don't give up even when you feel like giving up. 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," here's the conclusion of the whole thing, "be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God will reward. He will carry you through, and you will make it to heaven if you will hang in there and just will not give up. Tonight we've gotten 8 lessons from a postage stamp. Let's review. We've learned that a stamp is created, and so were we. We've learned that a stamp bears an image, and we bear the image of God. We've learned that stamps are regulated by law, and we are regulated by the law of God. We have learned that a stamp can have different values, but that doesn't make one more important than the other, because if either one is missing from the envelope, the thing's not going to be delivered. You got to have all of it there that's required. The same is true with us. We all have our talents. We all have our abilities. We are like the body. Not everyone is an ear. Not everyone is an eye. Not everyone is a hand. Not everyone is a foot. But everybody has a place, and everyone is important in the body of Christ. And so let's work together to get the job done. We've learned also that stamps work well together. And so do we. Christians are to work together for the goal of bringing glory to God and sharing the gospel with the lost and dying world. We've also learned that a stamp will work anywhere you put it, and so should we. We have learned that a stamp has to be purchased, put on an envelope, approved with a mark. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus. We put on Christ when we were baptized for remission of our sins. We are marked by the Holy Spirit as the children of God, the earnest of our salvation, when we obey the gospel. And then we learn that stamps hang on till they reach their destination. And so must we. Oh, Ken, you missed one of my slides, Bubba. In all your copying and pasting, one of my postage stamps is missing. All right, that's fine. Have your sins been canceled out? Have your sins been blotted out by the blood of Jesus? If they have not, you need to obey the gospel before it's too late. Are you determined to cling to the Lord and do His work until you reach your destination? Good for you if you are. But if you haven't done that, if you failed in this, then you need to rededicate your life to God while you can. Are you prepared for the day of judgment? If you're not, then get ready for that day. And come to Jesus now if you need to, as together we stand and sing.